This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, text 42. Atava bahunaitena kim gyatena tavarjana vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekang shena stato jagat. What need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this universe. Om Agana Timirantasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Ditamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshako Pitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Dama, Hare Dama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Atava bahunaitena kim gyatena tavarjana Vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam shena stato jagat. Krishna, Krishna. People often want to know, devotees especially want to know, how can we always think of Krishna? And the first answer is that we turn off our cell phones. If you haven't already, please give it a check. And there's some empty real estate there that can be filled up if anyone wants to fill it up. The second answer is that in this 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is describing his vibhutis, or his specific opulences. Arjuna has asked, Keshu keshu chabhaveshu chintyosi bhagavanmaya. How is it that I can think of you always, even within this material world, even within material things? Keshu keshu means in material things. Keshu keshu chabhaveshu chintyosi bhagavanmaya. Because the Lord has said, mat chitta madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam. The katyantastramam nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. Devotees are always speaking about the Lord. The machchitta, yes, they're always thinking of me. And they're always talking about me. So Arjuna says, Well, how can we think of you? And the Lord has given many examples. Well, maybe we'll move backward in the chapter. The Lord has given many examples of ways by which He's the best of everything. The Yad Yad Vibhuti Mat Sattvam Srimad Urjitam Evava Tat Tadeva Vagachatam Mamate Jom Susambhava. Whatever there is that's great or wonderful or beautiful springs from a spark of my opulence. And he's given some examples. The Lord said, actually, yes, you'd like me to speak about my opulences in this material world. I'll speak about the chief ones. Pradhanyata Kuru Shrestha. Pradhanyata Kuru Shrestha, Nanto, Nasyanto Vistarasyame. Because there's no end to my opulences. There's no end to them. They're limitless. So, Pradhanyata. I'll speak about some headline opulences. Ahamatma Gura Kesha. Sarva Bhutashaya Stitaha. I'm the Atma within the heart of every living beings. Now, the Vaishnavacharya's comment that this means that the Paramatma, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, is present along with the living entity in everyone's heart. Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto. And the Mayavadis take it, yes, the Atma, Lord Krishna is the Atma, and I'm also the Atma, therefore I'm also Krishna. Law of identity, things equal to the same thing or equal to each other. I'm equal to the Atma, Krishna is equal to the Atma, therefore I'm equal to Krishna. And right there in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I'm the Atma. And I can also say, I'm the Atma. But therefore they take it that Krishna is saying yes, that I'm you, I'm everything. I'm you, you're me, we're all the same. But elsewhere in the chapter, Krishna will also say, Jashanam makaras chasmi, among fish I'm the shark. Does it mean that the shark is also God? And you were taking this verse that Atma, aham Atma, so the Atma is God. But then the shark is also God. And so many other examples will come in this chapter, Sagara, what is that? Sarasam asmi sagarasa. Among bodies of water, I'm the ocean. Then the ocean is also God. So it's not meant to say that I'm God and you're God. But on the other hand, yes, the Atma is also God. Because he's a ansha, part of God. Mami vangsha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. So when you think of the Atma, you can think the Atma is part of God. And when you think of Paramatma, Paramatma is also the partial representation of God. These two are there in the heart, the Atma and the Paramatma. Paramatma is the plenary portion, or yes, representative of God. He's God. Partially manifest. And the living entity is the tiny, tiny portion of God. But he's also God. Because he's a tiny portion. But he's tiny. There's no way around that. God is gold and the living entity is gold. But God is the gold mine and the living entity is the tiny gold ornament. The earring that some lady is wearing, your wife is wearing a gold ornament in her ear, that's also gold. But it doesn't mean she's wearing a gold mine on her ear. Qualitatively one, quantitatively different. So the Lord begins, Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhutashaya Stitaha Aham Adir Chamadyam Aham Adir Hi Antam Cha Bhutanam Majameva Cha. Is that what it is? Na. Aham Adir Chamadyam Cha Bhutanam Anta Eva Cha. I'm the beginning of everything. Okay. Next mobile that rings can be contributed to BBT Africa. Krishna says, I'm the beginning of everything. What is that? Aham Sarvasya Prabhubho. Everything comes from me. I'm the original origin of everything. But from another point of view, the beginning of anything is Krishna. Bijam mam sarvabhutanam vidhi parta sanatanam. Later Krishna will say, I'm the seed of all existences. No tree grows without a seed. The human being also grows from the seed planted by the father in the womb of the mother. Seed has to be there. Krishna says, I'm that seed. I'm the beginning of everything. Nothing starts without a beginning. It has to be a beginning. Krishna says, I'm the beginning. Oh, okay, then we start with you, you're at the beginning, and then we move on. No, I'm also the middle of everything. So if you're in the middle of something, that middle is also Krishna. And Bhutanam Anta Eva Cha, I'm also the end of everything. In the 11th chapter, what is that? Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham. No, that's not the 11th chapter. That's also here, 10th chapter. Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham. I come as death. And I'm the end of everything. That's really the end of everything. Whatever you've done, death, it's all over. That's also Krishna. Therefore, the materialists are afraid of Krishna because they're afraid of death. And for the devotee, death is all right. It's said that when Dhruva Maharaj went back to Godhead, the Lord sent a flower airplane, not flower airplane, a Vaikuntha airplane, to pick him up and bring him back to Godhead. And as the airplane landed, then death also came to approach Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj thought this is a good arrangement. He stepped on death's head and got into the airplane. Just as you get like some little stair to where they bring all those stairs up to the, you know, little commuter jets. So death came and Dhruva Maharaj stood on his head and got into the plane. So for the devotee, death is not a problem. It's not a problem. The body will be finished, but nityasyokta sharirana. The soul will go on living forever. So Krishna says, I'm the beginning, I'm the middle, I'm the end. Then you can think of me at any time. In any of these three phases of any project, you're beginning a project, you can think of Krishna. In the middle of the project, depend on Krishna. If the project comes to an end, okay, I move on to something else. For materialists, it's the end of the world. My project ended, my job ended, my relationship ended, my this ended, that ended. Now my life is over. But for a Krishna conscious person, all right. Hare Krishna. It's an opportunity for remembering Krishna. Bhutanam anta eva cha. Adityanam aham Vishnur Jyotisam Ravarangshuman. Marichir Marutam Asmi Nakshatranam aham Shashi. In the sky there are so many stars, but the moon is the brightest. And the devotee sees the moon and he remembers Krishna. Krishna is the greatest of everything. Among stars, the moon is the greatest. The devotee remembers Krishna. Indriyanam manas chasmi. Bhutanam asmi chetana. In all living beings, I'm chetana, consciousness. What makes a living being? It's consciousness. That consciousness, from one point of view, you can trace out Krishna's existence by tracing out your own existence. I'm a living being, I'm conscious. I'm different from the body is mechanical. And I have this characteristic of thinking, feeling, willing. I'm a conscious living being. And I'm a small sample of God, so I can understand something about God. Because God has the same characteristics, although hugely. So Krishna says, I'm consciousness. Even by thinking of ourselves, we can think of Krishna, because Krishna is the greater manifestation of what we are in this small, small sample. Bhutanam asmi chetana. And indriyanam manas chasmi. Among all the senses, the most powerful of the senses is the mind. The mind is considered the center of the senses. Sense central. It's the center of all the senses and very powerful. Pramati balavad dridham, elsewhere the Lord's Arjuna said, it's very powerful and determined. So that mind is also a representation of Krishna. Why? Because it's Krishna's energy. And because among the senses, it's the greatest. Krishna is the greatest in every category. We already discussed Sarasam Asmi Sagara, among bodies of water, the ocean, Welt Bandai. We're on the side of the ocean. When you see the ocean, you can think of Krishna. This ocean is Krishna's energy. Of all bodies of water, none is greater than the ocean. So we'll see the ocean, we'll think of Krishna. The ocean appears to be practically unlimited. We look out, we don't see any end to it. So Krishna is also unlimited, but actually unlimited. The ocean only looks unlimited when we're standing on the shore. When you look at it on Google Maps, it has limits. But Krishna's, even here, it's unlimited out in that direction, but it reaches its limits over here. If you go out to Chaupati Beach, no limit to the ocean, except at your feet. On the shore, that's the eastern limit of the Arabian Sea. And there is a western limit. So it represents Krishna, but Krishna is factually unlimited. Stavaranam Himalaya, among mountains, among stationary things. Among mountains, he's Meru. Meru Shikari Namaham. And Stavaranam Himalaya, of things that don't move, the Himalayas. Himalayas are not going anywhere. Yajyanam Japa Yagyosmi, among yagyas, japa. Among noisemakers, I'm children. In this way, the Lord goes on mentioning many different items, one after another. Among this, I'm this. Among this, I'm this. Big list. Each of them is like a little meditation. Each of them is like a little meditation. Among secrets, I'm silence. That's the only secret that's really secret. Then, nantosti mama divyanam vibhutinam parantapa, esha, tudeshita, well, before we get there, yach chapi sarvabhutanam, bijam tadaham arjuna, natadasti vina yatsyan maya bhutam charachanam. I'm the generating seed of all existences. There's no being, moving or non-moving, that can exist without me. Without Krishna, nothing can exist. Prabhupada comments, whatever existence is not founded on the energy of Krishna is called Maya, that which is not. Okay, where are you guys and what are we going to do about you guys? Okay, you're up there. And you have associated parents or adults who are with you and who are capable of pulling the plug. I think the children have a place. It was announced earlier there's a place for them, and that's the place for you guys. Otherwise, the same rule that applies to cell phones applies to children. Nantosti mama divyanam vibhutinam parantapa. Esha tud deshata prokto vibhuter vistaro maya. Well, if we want to fill in space, fill in this space. We'll move your micro moving people. Let's just move everybody down. We have all this empty real estate. It costs a lot in Bombay and we're not using it. More. Still more. Okay, that makes it easier, I think, to move everybody else, if we want to move everybody else. Okay, good. Nantosti mama divyanam. There's no end to my opulences, the Lord says. There's no limit. Therefore, Krishna said at the beginning, I'm just going to tell you a few headline examples. Because now the Lord will say, Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava tat tad eva bhagachatvam mamatejam sambhava. I've given some examples, but you can apply it everywhere. Wherever you see something that's vibhuti mat, that's opulent, Srimat, beautiful, Urjitam, glorious, powerful. Tattadeva bhagachatvam, you should know. Mamatejom susambhava. This just comes from one spark of my energy. Just a spark of my energy. It's said that the whole material world is one, it's called ekapad vibhuti. One quarter of Krishna's opulence. And Tripad Vibhuti, the other three quarters, are in the spiritual world. Of course, measurement is difficult because no one can measure how big the spiritual world is. And even the material world is beyond our measuring capability. But still, for our understanding, it's indicated the material world is just a tiny corner. And we're very impressed that such a big, we go to some tourist spot, such a big mountain, such a big lake, such a this, such a that, such a rainbow, such a... whatever it is, Krishna says, whether it's natural or whether it's some personal opulence, somebody's got money, that's attractive, somebody's got beauty, that's attractive. Krishna says, one tiny little portion of my energy. Even Prabhupada's analysis of Bhagavan, all beauty, all wealth, all fame, all knowledge. Everybody else, some beauty, some... So whoever you think is beautiful, that beauty is a manifestation of the ultimate beauty, Krishna's beauty. Wow, that man's got money. That money is a little tiny portion. Krishna's created so many planets with so many gold mines. People are running around. Platinum, steel, gold. What is that stuff called? There's some mineral that they get in Congo, which is very valuable, and therefore they're exploiting the Congolese people like anything to get it. Not diamonds. Not platinum. It's something used in microchips. Not silicon. Those are ordinary things. The name is escaping me at the moment. No, it's not mica. It's an odd kind of name. It's a name put together from two other things. No. It's not an eum at all. It's I've forgotten the name of it all of a sudden. It's quite a problem because it's very valuable and most of it comes from the Congo and it's in everything. It's in your cell phone, it's in your computer, and they exploit people like anything to extract this stuff. Anyway, they're scrambling around, and that's basically what war is about. You know, war is supposed to be all about religion. Right, we're filing, there's a clash of civilization between Islam and the rest of the world. That's all baloney. Sorry, that's American for nonsense. That's all rubbish. That's all fog. They have a fog machine that puts out this stuff. War is not about a clash of religions. It's not about, that's not what's going on. It's resources. It's resources. The Vietnam War wasn't about religion. World War II wasn't about religion. The Korean War wasn't about religion. It's all about resources. We want to grab all the resources that we can because we need them or because we can profit from them. But Krishna has unlimited resources. We're busy trying to grab a piece of Krishna's property so that we can somehow exploit it. And the result is that we're becoming more and more implicated in war and in karmic reactions of all sorts. But all of these planets with unlimited resources, or unlimited planets with whatever resources, they're a tiny manifestation of Krishna's energy. A tiny manifestation of Krishna's energy. When you see something beautiful, wonderful, powerful, people in America, they go to Niagara Falls, which is like Victoria Falls and so many other falls. Very impressive. You know, water is pouring down in huge quantities, down huge cascades that make this roaring sound. People go there and it's just a tiny fraction of Krishna's energy. People go to the Grand Canyon. It's a huge canyon in America. Same thing, just a manifestation of Krishna's energy. And Krishna says, whenever you see anything that's wonderful, beautiful, glorious, opulent. It's a tiny fraction of my energy. Finally, atava bahunaitena kim gatena tavarjuna. Arjun, what else is there to know? Atava bahunaitena. There are so many opulences like that. Vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekang shenastachojagat. But this is enough that this entire cosmic manifestation or this entire world is pervaded by my one plenary portion. By my one plenary portion. Purport, the Supreme Lord is represented throughout the entire material universes by his entering into all things as the Supersoul. The Lord here tells Arjuna that there's no point in understanding how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. He should know that all things are existing due to Krishna's entering them as Supersoul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, on down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each and all and is sustaining them. To see Krishna within everything is actually to see. There's a mission that regularly propounds that worship of any demigod will lead one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Supreme Goal. There is such a mission. Whatever you think, whatever demigod you like to worship, all gods are the same. It all leads to the same place. All roads lead to Rome. But worship of demigods is thoroughly discouraged herein, because even the greatest demigods, like Brahma and Shiva, represent only part of the opulence of the Supreme Lord. The Ahamadirhi Devanam Maharshinam Chasarvashan, Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, doesn't say, I'm equal to all the other gods. We're all interchangeable parts. Aham Adirhi Devana, I'm the source of all the devatas. I'm the source of all of them. The sun and the sunlight are one, but they're not interchangeable parts. The sunlight is the manifestation, is the energy, the emanation from the sun. And the sun is the origin. The reservoir is the source of the water, and the springs and rivers are the emanations. They're one. The water is one. There's all part of one great hydro system. But the lake is the source of all the water and the rivers. So Krishna is the source of all the other devatas, devis and devatas. And people are worshipping others because they are either confused or just kankshanta. They're kamaisthaisthirhritagana, because they've lost their intelligence. Kamaisthaisthirhritagana. Their knowledge has been lost because of their excessive material desires. So I'm advertising that I'm worshipping Kali, I'm worshipping Durga, and I'm God. Or people are advertising that this person who's such a great devotee of Kali is God himself, he's Bhagavan. But Bhagavan here says that what to speak of being my incarnation, he's not even intelligent. Hritagana, he's lost his knowledge. That's not the qualification for being God, to be a fool. Yanti deva rita, devan pitrin yanti pitri rita, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti madhya janopimam. Those who worship the devatas go to the devatas. Those who worship the ghosts go to the ghosts. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship me come to me, Krishna says. It's not that you worship the ghosts, you come to Krishna. You worship the devatas, you go to Krishna. You worship the ancestors, you go to Krishna. No. It's a simple thing. You go to the train station and you buy a ticket for Kolkata. You're not going to be going to Ahmedabad. You buy a ticket for pick a place, Tiruvananthapuram, you're not going to be going to Delhi. Simple. Not that all, you come to any train with your ticket and, well, what train are you supposed to be going on? Well, any train. Where are you going? To the destination. Well, that's very mystical. But your destination is going to be different. You worship the Supreme, you'll go to the Supreme. What is that? In the Isha Upanishad, it said that those who... what is that? Sambhutim cha, binhasham cha, tadvedo bhayam saha. But elsewhere, what is that? That those who worship the... Yes, those who worship the demigods go downward. In the Usha Upanishad. Relative to the supreme destination, you're going down. Abrahma Bhuvanal Doka. Even if one goes to the highest planet in the universe, the planet of Brahma, Punarvartanarjana, one has to come back down. Mamupecha tukamteya punarjanma nipityate. But by worshipping Krishna, one goes to the planet of Krishna and never comes back. So we have these great missions who are propounding that any way you go, you reach the same destination. And these missions are all propounding rubbish as far as the statements of Krishna are concerned. Krishna is the origin of everyone born, and no one is greater than him. He is asamordva, which means that no one is superior to him and no one is equal to him. Asama, ordva. No one is equal, no one is greater. In the Padma Purana, it is said that one who considers the Supreme Lord Krishna in the same category with demigods, be they even Brahma or Shiva, becomes at once an atheist. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahmarudrari Dayavatai Samatvenaiva Vikshetaya Pashandipa Vedruvam. Becomes an atheist. If, however, one thoroughly studies the different descriptions of the opulences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then one can understand without any doubt the position of Lord Sri Krishna and can fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. That's the goal, the point, to fix the mind on Krishna. To fix the mind on Krishna. Chetasa nanyagamina, without deviation. The Lord is all-pervading by the expansion of his partial representation, the Supersoul, who enters into everything that is. Pure devotees, therefore, concentrate their minds in Krishna consciousness in full devotional service. Therefore, they are always situated in the transcendental position. Devotional service and worship of Krishna are very clearly indicated in this chapter, in verses 8 through 11. That is the way of pure devotional service. How one can attain the highest devotional perfection of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been thoroughly explained in this chapter. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, a great acharya in disciplic succession from Krishna, concludes his commentary on this chapter by saying, Yat chakti leshat suryadya bhavant yatyu gratejasaha yadang shena dritam vishvam sakrishno dashamerchate. From Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets its power. And by Krishna's partial expansion, the whole world is maintained. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is worshipable. Thus end the Bhakti Vedanta purports to the 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the opulence of the Absolute, Vibhuti Yoga. Any questions? Microphone, coming your way.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
Ganapuram. Maharaj, in Bhagavad Gita 10.31, the translation of Magar is given as a shark.
Makara, the translation is given as shark. Because in the West, we're not very familiar with Makaras. Makaras are technically a kind of sea monster, right? Is that your question?
Yeah, but in India, we say it's like crocodile, magarmach.
Yeah, you can say like a crocodile or sometimes a sea monster. There's different kinds of makaras. But for our common understanding, among the aquatics, the shark is very powerful. So you can take the shark, you can take the crocodile in Africa, crocodiles are a big threat in some portions. So when you see the crocodile, if you happen to be in Africa, you can think of Krishna. That's the point. You know, it may be a crocodile, it may be a sea monster, it may be a shark. We have to pick up the idea. We have to pick up the idea. It's like Prabhupada says, among trees, I'm the banyan tree. Ashvatav sarvavrikshana. Now, technically, if you get into it, the ashvata tree and the banyan tree are really two different trees. The banyan tree is the one with throws down all the roots but has those sort of curvy leaves, and the ashvata has the slender, pointy leaves. So then you can make a big point. Oh, it says it's a banyan tree, but actually it's an ashvata. But the point is that we're meant to think of Krishna. That's the real point.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I think it switched off. He's the expert. He knows about makaras and turning on microphones.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
This question is not from Bhagavad Gita.
It's not.
Yeah, it is from Bhagavatam though. So can I ask you at this moment of time? Is it fine?
Well.
Sure. I was going through Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, and over there I came across this verse which says, the Lord's transcendental bodily parts are always compared to the lotus flower because in the material world, the lotus flower is the last word in beauty. This question...
The Lord's bodily parts are compared to the lotus flower because the lotus flower is the last word in beauty.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, so I would like to know that if you... So do we mean to say that because lotus is beautiful, that's the reason we compare Krishna's body parts to lotus flower, or is it something else? What does it try to say, this verse? Could you just simplify?
Yes, the lotus is, Prabhupada said, the last word in beauty. So the Lord is compared to the lotus flower. Yes. If one looks at the lotus flower, it's quite an exceptional thing. Those little filaments coming out and that very unusual central part that shaped like this, like Meru Mountain, and such an exceptional fragrance, and these beautiful petals that come out in different directions and with very subtle colors, pink. So if a person is not dull, which too many people are, if a person is not dull, he looks at the lotus and sees, it's such a beautiful flower. But, and then we think he's a sensitive person, he's an artistic person, he's a person who appreciates nature. But if he's deeper than that, if he's more thoughtful, he thinks, well, what is the source of the beauty of this lotus flower? Where did this lotus flower come from? How has it become so beautiful? It's just grown out of mud, pankaja. How is this? And he can begin to think of Krishna. Or he can think of if he knows something about Krishna from the description in Srimad Bhagavatam, Namo Pankajana Abhaya, Namo Pankajamaline, Namo Pankajane Traya, Namaste Pankajangre. Krishna's feet are like the lotus, his navel is like the lotus, his face is like the lotus, his eyes are like the lotus. So just by seeing the flower, you know, a materialist thinks, okay, here's a flower, well, what could we use it for? Could we grind it up and make petrol, or, you know, can we get perfume from it and make a profit? A Krishna conscious person sees the lotus and he begins thinking of Krishna in different ways. Krishna is beautiful like the lotus. His body is fragrant like the lotus. In this way.
But when you compare a lotus and a rose, I feel that a rose would be having much more fragrance as compared.
You compare the lotus to the.
So why?
Then by thinking of the rose, you can think of Krishna.
No, that's why I was wondering, because I feel that rose is much more fragrance, like as compared to lotus. So I was wondering, this question was in my mind, that why always you say lotus feet and why not rose feet or something like that.
Serious question, isn't it? It's like someone writes a poem and says about his lover, your eyes are like stars. Someone says, why stars? Why not Mercury? Mercury is, you know. The main thing is to appreciate. Wherever the microphone goes is okay with me. Ah, okay, it's already there.
Respected Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. This is a question from Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Good.
So in 4th chapter, verse 22, Yadruccha labha santushto dvandva hito vimatsaraha.
Samasiddha Vasiddhocha.
Krutvapi na nibadhyate. So there are actually six misgivings we hear of kam, krodha, madha, moha, matsar. So out of those six, here specific word is used as vimatsaraha. So why this particular word is given much more importance here in this verse?
Elsewhere, why is Krishna giving in this verse more importance to nirmatsara, to be free from envy? Kritvapi na nibhajyate. One is not entangled when he's satisfied with gain that comes of its own accord, and he's not envious of others. Yes. Two answers can be given. Elsewhere, Krishna does emphasize other things. Kama krodho vimuktanam, one who's freed from lust and anger. Yadvich chalaba santushto, he's satisfied with gain of its own accord. That means he's not greedy. But another answer is that matsara is very pernicious, very corrosive. Envy. Envy begins at the top. I may be envious of a person who has a bigger car or a bigger bungalow or a younger wife or more money. A person who got two gulab jamuns when I only got one. But real matsara begins from envy of Krishna. Why should Krishna be the enjoyer? Why shouldn't I be the enjoyer? That's matsara. And then from Krishna, being envious of Krishna, it extends to being envious of so many others. Nirmatsaranam satam. Bhagavatam is meant for those who are nirmatsara. Nirmatsaro pujito. To be free from envy is such a rare quality that if we find someone with that characteristic, he deserves our worship. The Goswamis had that characteristic. Six Goswamis. Nirmatsara. Is that okay? Yes, another question. There's some in the back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
In case of Rukmini Devi, it is like that she was staying with his parents.
Rukmini was
staying with parents and
staying
Devi,
with her parents. Yes.
So that pastime, always her brother was offending Krishna, and. Similar situation comes that when
her brother was offending Krishna and what?
So it is said that if someone criticizes Krishna or blasphemes devotee or related Krishna, we should immediately leave that place or defend that person.
Yes.
So in that case, she was not able to even defend and even leave that place also immediately on her own. But what we would do, some people offend Krishna and we have to stay there, we have to listen the same things that are regarding offenses regarding Krishna.
Of course, Rukmi, he wasn't bad-mouthing Krishna like Shishupal, but he was preferring Shishupal as a match for his sister. That was the problem. And anyway, she did get out of the place. She made an arrangement to get kidnapped by the right person, Krishna. But to deal with your question, no, we shouldn't tolerate hearing Krishna criticized or Krishna's devotees criticized. We should defeat that offensive person or just leave. Either option. If you can defeat the person, good. Shut him up, as they say. I was at one person was telling me, someone who was friendly with him began speaking ill of Prabhupada. He'd come over to this devotee's home and began speaking ill of Prabhupada, and the devotee just boom, stopped him right there. You're always welcome at my house. We're good friends. But there's the line. You speak ill of Prabhupada, you're out. We draw lines. So this is where we draw the line. You want to speak ill of Krishna? I don't want to hear from you. And if you can defeat him, better. Otherwise, either you get out or I'm getting out. We shouldn't hear. Either Krishna blasphemed or the devotee. Nor do we sit on the internet and consume blasphemy of devotees. It's corrosive. It's corrosive. You know, you wouldn't drink water with acid in it. Corrosive acid. And so we don't want to consume Vaishnav aparads on the internet or any place else. Does that answer your question? Yes? No? Okay. Where's the microphone gone? The hand is there.
Hare Krishna?
Yes.
Maharaj, in your one of the Bhagavatam class, you were mentioning about Arjuna. Like Arjuna refused to marry with Uttara because she was her disciple.
Arjuna declined to marry yeah. Uttara because she was his disciple. Yes.
Similarly with the Urvashi because her relationship with the Arjuna's father.
Yes.
I just want to know, like Arjuna becomes a sannyasi and then he gets married with the Subhadra.
Then Arjuna becomes a sannyasi and he marries Subhadra.
How to understand this marriage?
Yes, but he wasn't in that relationship with Subhadra that I'm your guru, and he just sort of put on a disguise, as it were. How to get into the palace, how to get close to Uttara. Well, I dress like a sannyasi. But he wasn't in that relationship, like she's my disciple, or like that. Is it difficult? Is it difficult?
Even though he may not be the spiritual master, but he was in a sannyasi dress. Like,
yes, sannyasis don't marry girls. Uttara or anybody, Subhadra or anybody else. Sannyasis don't marry anyone, except in Bollywood movies. Therefore, Arjuna wasn't a member of the renounced order of life. He was just putting on a disguise. Same thing happened when they wanted to kill Jarasandha. Then Krishna and Arjun and Bhima dressed up like Brahmins. And they went to Jarasandha and said, we're three Brahmins, we've come to your court, we've heard that you're a very charitable king, and we've come to beg some charity from you. And Jarasandha was no fool. He saw these guys are built like, not like Brahmins, you know, they're built like tanks. They've got shoulders that look like they've been carrying bows on them. These aren't Brahmins, they're Kshatriyas. He could understand. But anyway, they've taken the role of Brahmins, they've taken the role of beggars, although they're Kshatriyas. All right, I'll give them charity. Yes? What would you like? Well, to tell you the truth, we're not actually Brahmins. I'm your eternal enemy, Krishna, and this is Arjuna, and this is Bhima, and we've come to beg you for a fight. Okay, granted, let's fight. Not with you, Krishna. You're a coward. You ran away from the battlefield, as Radhanath Maharaj mentioned this morning. You're a Ranchur. We won't fight with any Ranchur. And Arjun, you're a small to Bhima I'll fight with. He's up to it. He's a man on my level. I'll fight with him. But the point was that they devised some disguise for the purpose of getting in there. And Arjun did the same thing. One was for war and one was for love, but it was the same tactic. Is that okay? But they, Krishna and Arjun and Bhima weren't Brahmins, and Arjun wasn't a member of the renounced order. Well, looks like here's the next person who wants to ask a question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, in morning class, Radhanath Maharaj said that Krishna is called Ranchod. The word Ranchod literally means running away from the battlefield. But it's to run away from the battlefield is not a good thing. Can it be a tactical retreat of Krishna?
What about Krishna?
Running away from...
Yeah, it's not... So what was the last sentence?
Is it a tactical retreat from the battlefield?
Yeah. Krishna is not afraid of any Jarasandha. Krishna can kill millions of Jarasandhas with the small finger of his hand. But it was a tactic. Certainly it was a tactic. He didn't want to fight in that particular circumstance. And he had more important business to attend to, namely kidnapping Rukmini. Oh, Krishna is glorious. In the material world, if someone runs from the battlefield, then he's permanently condemned. He's lost all of his reputation. He's useless. No Kshatriya will want to talk to him. When Krishna runs away from the battlefield, we build him a temple and worship him. When Krishna's fighting, he's worshipable. When he's dancing, he's worshipable. When he's herding cows, he's worshipable. When he's running away from Jarasandha, he's worshipable. When he's killing Jarasandha or arranging for Bhima to kill him, he's worshipable. Krishna's the absolute standard for everything. What in us is something abominable, in Krishna is absolute and relishable. If we dance with other men's wives, that's abominable. If Krishna dances with other men's wives, then we put the picture all over the temple. It's worshipable. Whatever Krishna does is because he's the highest standard. He doesn't have to play by the rules of this material world. In the prison, the prisoners have to be in their cells by 9 o'clock. Krishna, you weren't in your cell by 9 o'clock. He's not a prisoner. He doesn't have to abide by the rules. He doesn't have to wear striped clothing or... any of that. He's not subject to, he makes the rules. Generally he follows them for the instruction of human society, but sometimes he disregards them because that's his prerogative. He can do as he likes. There's a proverb in Latin, quod lecet bovi, non lecet Jovi. Jovi means the king of the gods, like Indra. And Bovi means the cow. So what's... Yes, quod lecet Jovi, non lecet Bovi. What's legal for the king of the gods is not legal for the cow. You know, what God can do, the cow can say, well, I can do that too, I can do that too. No. Or it also translates, rank has its privileges. The prime minister can drive through the traffic, everything stops and everybody moves aside. He can doesn't have to go through the radar metal detectors because he's the prime minister. Then if you say, well, he didn't walk through the metal detector, I'm going to not walk through it either. Okay, police jump on you. Because you're not him. Simple as that. You're not him. He can do that because of who he is. And I can't do that because I'm not him. When I'm powerful like the prime minister, then I can do those things. I'm not powerful. I want to dance with gopis, imitating Krishna. I want to smoke ganja, imitating Lord Shiva. But I can't lift Govardhan Hill like Krishna. I can't drink an ocean of poison like Shiva. So I just want to imitate without having the credentials. So the credential of Krishna, the qualification of Krishna, is that he's the absolute truth, satyam param dhimahi. No one else has that qualification. Certainly none of us have that qualification. Therefore, we can't imitate Krishna. We can simply appreciate Krishna and worship Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, there's only 4 minutes left, technically. And if you stop 4 minutes early, then everybody says, oh, he ended early. So should we stop here? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.